Thank you very much, John. It's an honor to appear here with Professor Lowe, and particularly at a gathering honoring Dean and Professor Smith. I am making use of banking your minutes that you did not fully utilize, so I've got a couple of more than that, but I have my timer here. But we need to get my slides up, and there they are.
Much better at technology than I am.
No, I don't think so. But we will start off with Shakespeare, always a good place, where the title for our presentation comes from, The Past is Prologue of What is to Come. If you're not into Shakespeare, you might think in terms of movies such as Groundhog Day, in which Bill Murray is doomed to repeat everything over and over, or Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. I hope to work in a reference to Superman and the Mole Men from 1951 shortly, but if not, check me at the break. The oil and gas industry has been characterized by this phrase, I think, root hog or die, which says, innovate or you will be terminated, you will go away. And I think that's a good theme for looking at the past as well as what the future holds. The oil and gas industry has been characterized by ruthless competition. In the past, small companies took risk, innovated, grew large, and then many failed. Edwin Drake, first well in Pennsylvania, had the Seneca Oil Company. 1859, he used piping to prevent borehole collapse, giving the basis for drilling since. He died broke, he didn't patent. E.A. Roberts, who invented the Roberts torpedo that was the first example of fracking, protected his patents, died rich. In the future, small companies will take risk, innovate, grow large, and then will fail in many instances after spectacular successes. Bankruptcy law is in your future, either your own company or a company with which you have had dealings and must take to court to get collection. Prices will be volatile in the future as they have been in the past. Now, the resource base that Professor Lowe was talking about that will be looked to is being largely realized that we can now go back and go to the source rocks that have been the basis for the reservoir traps as it migrated up the oil and gas. And we can tap into those areas of low permeability through the magic of hydraulic fracturing with horizontal drilling. This gives you a sense of that from 2011, but there are still more plays that are coming into play as we go on. In the past, going all the way back to the earliest days of the industry, particularly Spindletop in 1901 and so forth, everything was close together. For the better part of a century, from about the early 1930s, late 1920s, the goal of state agencies has been to expand the distances between wells. Now we're going back to the past. Effective drilling now is to get the wells more closely gathered together. This is because you need to have close proximity of your lateral lines in order to make effective use of the fracking that you're undertaking in these low permeability resources. In the past, we had oil export, and that goes all the way back to 1861, where the Elizabeth Watts departed the Philadelphia docks and sailed down the up to the Thames River after a 45-day voyage across the Atlantic, and then took 12 days to unload 1,329 barrels. Things are quite a bit more efficient now, but we're back to export once again. There was a ban on export for a time, all the way through December the 18th of 2015, and now we're on the upshoot again, and Professor Lowe and I have both been drawing on some of the same reports. Mine is from the late January 2019 Department of Energy report that's very extensive about the future. I would call your attention to the color slide there that captures both the past and the future of the oil export, but you'll see in the background the windmills, the wind turbines that are part of that port scene. The bottom chart shows you various scenarios as to the level of exports that we will have depending upon price and production. Gas export is of more recent vintage, going back to 1959 when the MV Methane Pioneer left Calcasieu River on the Louisiana Gulf Coast with the world's first ocean cargo of LNG and delivered it to the United Kingdom. That didn't work out very well for a while, and so we began developing imports facilities for natural gas. But with the dramatic increase of hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling and the opening of the newer fields like the Barnett, the Haynesville, the Fayetteville, and so forth, the engineers took those import facilities, re-engineered them, and changed them into export facilities so that now we are happily engaged in gas export. Now, the top picture there is on a offshore facility that is for production, liquefaction, and storage and transfer of LNG at sea. There are a number of these now being built. They are massive, and that smaller vessel next to it is the sort of satellite vessel that takes the LNG for delivery. You have also a chart there that shows you the magnitude of expected exports that will extend for a very long time in the future.